Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Hey, check this out, folks. This is... I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Well, I probably could. Man arrested for allegedly trying to bring stun gun on flight. Sean, did you see this?
Yeah, I have seen that.
You did see this?
Yeah, that's a trip.
Okay, because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm hitting these guys with this stuff blind. They don't know what I'm throwing at them. I love the spontaneity in live radio. And this is fun. Man arrested for allegedly trying to bring stun gun on flight. Well, first of all, allegedly trying to bring. I don't know how you could look at that a different few ways. He did. Okay. But this was in Honolulu. It was a Japanese man on Friday. He was arrested by federal authorities after he allegedly tried to board a flight to Tokyo with a stun gun in his carry-on bag. Now, this is where I don't believe, you know, the media, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Prosecutors charged Hiroki Suzuki with one count of carrying a dangerous concealed weapon while attempting to board Al Nippon Airways Flight 1051, Sean. Okay. Suzuki allegedly told FBI agents he bought the stun gun in Japan about a year ago for his personal protection. And it says that his muscle man stun gun in a small black canvas pouch. An affidavit filed in district court in Honolulu said Suzuki hid the muscle man stun gun in a small black canvas pouch in his carry-on bag. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I would be willing to bet without looking up muscle man stun gun that they probably come in a little black canvas pouch.
I'm sure they do.
Okay, so I don't think he hid it. He was just one of these boneheads that forgot he had it in his carry-on bag instead of his check luggage, one of those deals. And I'll read you something else about that in just a few minutes because we had another incident like that down in at the Clearwater Airport, St. Pete Clearwater Airport in Florida, just outside of Tampa there on the other side of the bay. Know it well. Lived there for years. But get this. This is bonehead. This is this person gets a bonehead. George, are you there?
I'm listening. I'm just in here thinking, okay, so he bought it in Japan, and he flew to the U.S. with it?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, this is the fun stuff we could dig into, and Masad Ayoub is on the line, on the other line, and we'll get to him in just a second. I want to get his opinion on this, too, so I'll set this up. But listen to bonehead number one. U.S. Magistrate Judge Leslie Kobayashi released Suzuki on $25,000 bond so he can attend his grandfather's funeral in Japan. But Kobayashi ordered Suzuki to return for a hearing in 2 weeks to... Yeah.
Yeah, I see that coming.
Okay, go back to Japan, but promise to come back in 2 weeks to face U.S. federal charges?
Which one?
Let me tell you something. I'm giving up 25 grand. Even if I don't have it, I'm going to find it. In that case, you mean I can go home? I can go back to Japan? Yeah.
Which one's going to get the bonehead for this one?
The U.S. Magistrate Judge Leslie Kobayashi was more of a bonehead than the guy with the muscle man stun gun hidden in his thing. I'm going to bring Masad Ayoub in right now. I want to hear this. Masad, welcome to Armed American Radio. How are you today?
Doing good, brothers. It's good to be back.
Masad, can you help me with this? Who should have gotten the Bonehead Award?
Well, I'd be laughing harder about his Bonehead Award if I was not sitting here flashing back to a few years ago when the night before I went to the airport, we're, you know, finishing up a class and some helpful students are helping me clean up the classroom. And unbeknown to me, one of my helpful students picks up my dummy Glock and puts it in my video bag for me, which is my hand carry. And the next morning at airport security, klaxon horns start going off, and the kid here has a very embarrassing moment. Got through it okay, but there is still a perfectly functional Odin Press zinc copy of a Glock pistol at a certain Metropolitan International Airport where they put on display the weapons they've confiscated. Brothers and sisters, check your stuff. Don't try to tell them that the electric stun gun is your electric shaver unless you're prepared to shave with it in front of them.
Right.
And do not eat the yellow snow. These are the laws, but a whole lot of folks miss them.
Well, you know, that brings up this point here, and this is not funny, and that's why, you know, I had a little fun with that. Because I could, I thought, okay, I'm going to send him, I'm going to let him go back to Japan and then tell him he's got, I mean, come on, he's not going from Arizona to New Mexico for a parking ticket here. But here we have a story that that broke just yesterday, and you hear these, you know, from time to time, Mossad, and people really need to know, they need to really be paying attention, because concealed weapons permit holders are so prevalent nowadays, especially in states like Florida that are very gun-friendly. And this is a Southwest Florida woman was arrested after authorities said security screeners found a handgun in her carry-on bag at St. Pete Clearwater International Airport. She was arrested after they found it, of course. Pinellas County Sheriff's officers arrested Christy Louise Grove of Fort Myers Beach, who was getting ready to board a flight to Chattanooga, Tennessee Saturday morning when the weapon was found. She told deputies she had forgotten the gun was in her bag. Grove was charged with carrying a concealed firearm. Now, you know, wow, where do you go with something like that? You know, I don't doubt that she's probably telling the truth.
I think the big message for your listeners is it's not going to be the professionals like you or George that are going to run into that. What it's going to be is the casual gun owner or the person who's just become a first-time CCW. They find themselves carrying the gun in the attaché case. They get a quick call from the boss, hey, you've got a flight in New York tonight. And when they grab the attaché case, because they're not accustomed to the ritual disarming that we are at airports, they forget the damn thing is there, and they get one of the most excruciating legal nightmares of their lives.
Yeah, it is a nightmare. And folks, there's an education here, which is why I bring both of these stories up. It doesn't matter if it's a stun gun. It doesn't matter if it's a pocket knife. It doesn't matter if it's a handgun. It is a very bad situation, as Mossad Ayoub just mentioned. This is not a situation that you want to find yourself in. Now, Mossad, you travel more than the average Joe. I travel a little bit more than the average Joe. And I make it, and it is a ritual to me. I tear apart every bag I have before I fly. I do it just because I want to make sure that there's just nothing in there, that there's a round in there or a magazine, that maybe I was carrying an extra magazine. You know, the accidents happen. We're human beings and we make mistakes. And the mistake that you don't want to make is winding up in a security line at an airport as a law-abiding person and realizing that you made a mistake. I can guarantee you that it's going to turn your stomach. So please be very cautious. I don't doubt that this woman made a mistake. She probably made a mistake, and it's now going to cost her an awful lot of money and time. Now, Mossad, real quick, you are in beautiful Sierra Vista, Arizona right now, aren't you?
I am indeed, and life is good.
Life is very good. That drive, now I take it you flew into Phoenix?
We flew into Tucson.
Into Tucson, okay, and took that drive down.
Yeah, we'll be teaching out here in Wyatt Earp country for the next few days.
Oh, isn't that, you know, I was just out there about a month and a half ago, and it's so beautiful, my favorite part of the state. And we corresponded by email, and I guess you're not going to be able to make it out there to Tombstone, huh?
No, I'm flat out teaching this week, and then I've got to get up to the Spokane area over the weekend for a weekend course. And from there, we're going to Marty Hayes's place, Firearms Academy, Seattle.
Right.
To film my segments for season 5 of Personal Defense TV.
Great, with our friend Tom Gresham. That's a great show. I love it. And Marty is, you know, we had dinner with Marty at the SHOT Show, he and Gila. And Gila was on the show last week, her and Kathy, and left the listener with a wealth of information. Folks, if you missed last week's show, go back and pick up the podcast version on armedamericanradio.org. George, they did an unbelievable job, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Kathy is a fantastic editor for Concealed Carry Magazine, and you know, she just has a lot of insight. And the trainer that she brought on, I'm not exactly familiar with her, but she was sharp as a tack and had some very good advice. If I was, you know, if you know any female shooters who are new to the sport and to the lifestyle, be sure to download last week's show for that was amazing.
Yeah, they did. The two of them were just feeding off of each other, and the amount of information that they gave in such a short amount of time was fantastic. And we had some technical problems, Sean, that we don't have today, thank goodness, with the phones, and we lost them a couple times, but we were still able to get in a ton of it. Mossad, yep. We're going to take a break real soon, but when we come back from the break, I've got a gentleman on the phone by the name of Tim. Mossad, and he sent me an email that I'm going to read when we come back from the break after I get a little business out of the way and give some phone numbers, see if anybody wants to talk with us, about an incident that he had with police officers outside of Detroit in Warren, Michigan, just recently, a few weeks back. And I've asked him to call, and he was kind enough to do so. He's flashing up there online, too. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to have him on the phone. I'm going to read his email and then let him comment on it, Mossad, and let you give him the expert opinion, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Beautiful. We'll do that when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. A wealth of information. We're feeding your head with freedom from the beaches of Del Rey to the crab fishing vessels of Alaska. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Well-known for high-quality handmade leather holsters, Galco Gun Leather now offers a product line made of virtually maintenance-free kydex. Check out the Triton inside the waistband holster. The Triton by Galco is fast, thin, and easy to conceal. The belt clip offers quick on and off capability while the sweat guard protects both the gun and the gun carrier. If you're a fan of kydex holsters and require deep inside the waistband concealment, the Galco Triton line is for you. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
You lock your doors at night. You tell your children not to talk with strangers. But you know, letting them surf the internet unprotected is like inviting a predator right into your home. Protect your family with BeSafe Online Internet Filter. BeSafe Online's award-winning technology can block unwanted adult websites, monitor instant messaging, and give you a weekly report of all the sites your child visits, all for less than $5 a month. And isn't your family's online safety worth that? Go to BeSafeOnline.com today. That's the letter B, SafeOnline.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
877-956-9570. 877-956-9566. That's an easy number to remember. 877-956-9566. Pick it up. We have three of our lines taken right now. We've got a caller on the line. We have George, the Mad Ogre Hill, and, of course, we have Masad Ayoub, the master of self-defense, and we're fortunate enough to have my producer, Sean, joining us tonight. We love getting him in the mix. So there's the number. Also, you can email me at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And we have a wealth of information here that we want to get to you. We have a ton of outstanding emails that came in this week. Keep them coming, because that's what this program is all about, is educating you, the American law-abiding gun owner. And that's a beautiful thing. Don't forget it. So I'll take this opportunity to welcome Sean. Sean, welcome back.
Oh, hello.
There he is. His mic is live. Are you live?
Yes, I am.
He is. There he goes. And George Hill, the Mad Ogre. George, welcome back.
I am here and waiting and ready.
This one's a good one, folks. And Masad, welcome back to Armed American Radio from beautiful Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Just checked my pulse, and I'm live, too, so I think we're good to go.
There you go, and we know your mic is live. Sean might forget to hit his little button there, but he won't forget to hit yours. We have a caller on the phone, and his name is Tim, and I want to introduce Tim to the panel here right now, and then after I do that, I'm going to read his email. Tim, welcome to Armed American Radio from the Detroit area. How are you today?
Yes, hi. Fine. Thank
Tim, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling in. You and I talked, we corresponded by email, and then we talked earlier this week, I think latter part of the week around Thursday, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to read this email. We have Masad Ayoub on the phone. After I read this email, I want to get his opinion here. Very important and very educational to the listeners. And your email started out, Mark, I had an incident with the police in a suburb of Detroit a few weeks ago. I went to pick up my 15-year-old son in Detroit about 10 p.m., and I let him drive home. We were almost home, and there was an accident, and cars were going through the gas station to go around the accident. I told my son to drive through the gas station. Then this cop started running and yelling to stop at us. I told my son to stop. When he came up to us, I told him I have a CCW. He yells, "Where is the weapon?" I told him in my pocket and on my, and he said, "Get out." I stepped out, and he put handcuffs on me, and then he saw my second gun on the seat, and then he really blew his top and got loudmouth loony. He called me an idiot and stupid and said he almost blew my brains out. He took me in the police car and had another cop run the guns. He asked me why I have two guns. I told him I'm a handyman and go to work in Detroit. He told me that I don't need two guns, and then he said, then don't go to Detroit. He said that sometimes he goes to Detroit without his gun. He called me an idiot and said he almost blew my brains out and that he is going home to his family tonight. He said he thinks my son threw the second gun on my seat. I have a CCW and carry. Now, the email goes on, but I think people get the gist of what occurred. Is there anything else that you want to elaborate on before we turn it over to Masad and ask some questions? And I know you have some questions.
Well, he said, I don't need two guns. And, you know, they said you can carry as many guns as you want. So I don't know why he made that remark. And he said he don't go to Detroit sometimes without his gun. I want to carry my gun anywhere.
Well, you have a permit.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Masad, let me throw this over to you real quick. He had an unpleasant experience with an officer, and I guess it was not a Detroit officer, right, Tim?
That's right.
Okay. Masad, in a situation like this, can you, based on this email that we got, can you kind of run through this with us?
Well, first, I'd be curious to ask Tim how it all turned out. I assume you were uncuffed and went on your way and kept your guns, Tim.
Yes, no tickets, nothing.
Good.
Okay.
Basically, it sounds to me like you had a cop that was caught off guard a little bit. If I was his supervisor, I'd have a talk with him, remediate him, explain to him it's absolutely legal. It is a very common custom and practice in the city. And these guys carry guns for the same reason we give you guns. Some of them carry two for the same damn reason so many of us carry two. But the heck of it is, there's at least 800,000 cops in America, depending whose census you listen to. And in any community of 800,000, you're going to have some who don't agree with you. You're going to find some, particularly the younger generation of cops. You didn't mention the age of this officer. But we see, particularly in the urban sectors, where growing up does not involve exposure to firearms the way it does in most rural communities, where a whole lot of cops never put a hand on a gun until they got to the police academy. And they have a lot of ego invested in that. You know, the gun, like the badge, is a symbol of their job. And you'll sometimes see a little bit of a subconscious resentment of someone carrying what they perceive as their badge of office, just as you would with, you know, someone carrying one of those stupid CCW badges. The officer did not handle it the way I would have liked to have seen it handled. I'm just glad everybody got out of it, nobody got hurt, and y'all kept your guns and went home to your family.
That can turn into a very, very dangerous situation, Tim.
Yes.
Okay, now let's also say this, like you and I talked off air. The cops up in Detroit have a very, very difficult job on their hands, especially today. Detroit is having its problems up there, and from crime, the unemployment, the urban blight that the city is suffering, and the surrounding areas, as you well know.
Yes.
And, you know, these guys are underpaid. They have a thankless job. We have a lot of great friends that are law enforcement officers, of course, Mossad being one, active duty. And, you know, I feel for them. A column came out in the Armed American Report this week, if you happen to get that email, and if I can get this computer to bring the page up here, it's running a little slow right now. I'll read a portion of that, Mossad, because it's written by an active duty law enforcement officer, 10 years on the streets, and he gives his advice on what to do and how to handle a legitimate traffic stop if you're speeding or, you know, failing to yield or a red light or stop sign, whatever the case may be, on how to handle that. And I don't want to get redundant with you, Mossad, but every time we talk to you, we have thousands of new listeners in new cities across the country. I'm driving down the road. I'm inadvertently speeding. I'm not paying attention, and I'm getting a legitimate speeding ticket. I have a Glock 22 concealed on my right side. Regardless of whether the state law says I have to declare that that I'm carrying that weapon, what is your recommendation for listeners who find themselves in that situation as good law-abiding people will from time to time?
Well, first, to qualify it, I can't do it regardless of state law because there's some conditional branching there. Your listeners need to know that in Michigan, where Tim is calling from, one condition of the CWP is that you have, if you're carrying the gun, you have to advise any officer who makes any sort of professional contact with you that you're licensed and that you're armed. So Tim had no option but doing what he did. I spent, it's 36 years this month as a sworn officer in the state of New Hampshire. We have never had that requirement. When I first made contact with me, their first thing they said was, "I have a gun." That actually kind of ratcheted me up to a very day glow shade of condition orange. It's like, okay, I've met this guy 10 seconds ago, and the first thing he's going to do is tell me he's got the power. And that made me very leery of those folks. My feeling always was, if I was off duty and got pulled over, if the officer asked me, do you have a gun? Of course, I would have said yes. And would have explained that I was legal to do so, et cetera, and officer, tell me how you'd like to handle this.
Mossad, I hate to do this. I hate to do this with the music coming in. Means we've got about 20 seconds left since I started running my gator, but we're going to go back to that, and I want to let you finish that and dovetail into a Armed American report that came out on Friday where he says the same thing about having a gun. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
And we are talking about guns and ammunition with some of the best experts in the world. It's that simple. And you're on the Armed American Radio Network, and that, too, is a beautiful thing. That's your Second Amendment, protecting your First Amendment, that we can have a show to talk to you about being lawfully armed in what is currently the freest nation in the country, in the world, currently. I think the politicians are going to find that out in November. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. I'm Mark Walters, and I'm joined by Sean Young, my producer. Sean, hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Great. George, the Mad Ogre Hill in Utah, how are you?
Oh, doing great. It's a lovely night out here, and kicking my feet up and getting ready for the best hour on radio coming up in about a half an hour.
Yeah, and the round table. What's the gore?
You know, I'm not sure, but it's warm and it's sunny, and it's going to look like I'm going to have a beautiful sunset here at Ogre Ranch, and just putting my feet up and just enjoying the day.
That's good. It's warm and sunny. There you go. We'll just call the gore warm and sunny. It was 84 gore in Atlanta today.
79 gore here in Dallas.
Hey, Masad, what's the gore down there in beautiful Sierra Vista, Arizona?
Well, they said the real feel was 88 and the actual temperature was 82, and it felt just perfect. There's a gentle breeze blowing. Life is good. I just sat and basked in the sun and realized I don't feel any arthritis in this weather.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that is such a pretty area, too, and that drive that you took from Tucson down to Sierra Vista is just absolutely gorgeous. Now, when we went to a break, we were talking about Tim being stopped and some of the things that happened, some of the dynamics that occurred during that stop. You had mentioned the words, "I have a gun," and that immediately reminded me of the Armed American Report email that came out to subscribers on Friday. And folks, you can go to armedamericanreport.com and sign up for free. It is a wealth of information. It's fun to read. I tear it up like a good gun rag as soon as I get this. And Mossad here, and it was written by an active duty law enforcement officer, and his name is, we'll give him a shout out here, Jay Peters. And he starts off with, "I am a cop. I stop you for a violation of motor vehicle code or law. You have a weapon. You have a concealed weapons permit. What happens now?" And I won't read the rest, but I'll drop down to number one, don't dig around. And I want to get your opinion on these as I go down the list here, Mossad. Don't dig around looking for your paperwork.
Yeah, absolutely, because particularly as we're behind you and you've seen the red lights, blue lights, or red and blue lights go on, we're watching you. And if you're trying to be super helpful and start reaching in the glove box for the registration or to your hip pocket for your wallet, for your driver's license, think what that looks like in the vehicle behind the driver. It looks like someone reaching for a pistol. Pull over, put the car in park, put on your flashers, turn off the ignition. If it's at night, turn on the inside dome light. That does a lot of good things. It shows the officer that you have nothing to hide. It keeps a reach for something from being mistaken as a furtive movement for a weapon. Frankly, it also tells the cop that somewhere there was a cop who cared enough about you to give you this advice, and that probably is not going to hurt either. The officer will ask you for driver's license, registration, and perhaps proof of insurance. Explain where they are and where you'll be reaching. In my case, I'm going to have to reach down to my right hip to release my seat belt because I can't reach the wallet on my opposite side hip with the belt fastened. So I'll say, "Certainly, officer, I'm going to need to unbuckle my seat belt with my right hand. The driver's license is in the wallet in my left hip pocket. I'll remove that." If I was in the state of Michigan, where if you're carrying, you're required to notify, I would hand him at the same time the concealed carry permit. At that moment, I have fulfilled the Michigan requirement. I have, in fact, notified the officer. I have not made a statement that's construable as, "I have a gun," which is, you know, how half the bank robberies start off with the first statement by the robber and does tend to alarm people. And we've kept it low profile. I keep my registration in the glove box, and I'll state, "Officer, my registration is in the glove box. I'll need to reach there." Do it slowly. Do it carefully. Hand it over to them. If they ask, "Are you carrying a gun?" you say yes. If I was in a state that did not require that, I would simply give them the license and the registration after explaining where I'm reaching for them. And if the officer said, "Sir, please step out of the car," that means one of two things has happened. Either you were a little bit careless and you fit the profile of someone who might be under the influence, so you're going to have a roadside field sobriety test. Now, some of us use the gaze nystagmus test, you know, with the fingers in front of the eyes and stuff, but most officers will still use what's called the Romberg field sobriety series. And this is going to involve movements like the arms going straight out to the sides before the hand comes back to touch the nose and things like that, which will pull the coat open and reveal the firearm. Or the officer may, your car may simply fit the description of someone he's looking for. So I would, if the officer said, "Sir, please step out of the car," I would say, "Certainly, officer. However, I'm licensed to carry. I do have it on. Tell me how you'd like to handle this." Now, analyze the statement. I've said, "Certainly, officer." I'm beginning with total compliance and recognition of his authority. "However, I am licensed to carry." What scary word that frightens young rookie policemen who never touched a gun before the police academy has not been uttered? "I am licensed to carry." The operative term is license, certified card carrying, good guy. he will know what you're talking about. He'll know you're not talking about your colostomy bag or something. I do have it on. You're being quite upfront with him. And now you end as you began, with total compliance to authority. Tell me how you would like to handle this. And that tends to take away some of the scary moments. We can't guarantee taking it all away by definition. But unfortunately, getting back to Tim's situation, some states do require the notification of the officer. My feeling has always been, if I'm worried that you've got a gun, I'll ask you, and at that moment I'll expect the truth. Whenever I got out of a police car and walked up to a traffic stop, I went on the assumption they had a gun anyway, for God's sake. That's the best guarantee of survival. But basically, we have to use our own understanding of human nature and play it by ear.
Mossad, did you write this? I'm going down this list here, and I'm assuming that you haven't seen this, but everything that you're saying is exactly what is written in this report. Let me go down to the next one. Number two, well, first off, just to kind of paraphrase his responses, don't dig around looking for your paperwork, that French fry you dropped when the lights came on, or your kid's pacifier. I do not enjoy putting you at gunpoint. It is stressful for both of us. We can avoid this problem by staying put and keep our hands comfortably visible. I say stay put, I mean stay in the vehicle. I realize that some jurisdictions may ask you to step from the vehicle. Do so when asked. Again, this may seem remedial, but someone who exits a car without being asked on a traffic stop gives an impression that he is either going to do us harm or run from us. Number two, Mossad, is eye contact. Make eye contact with the officer. Nothing says I'm crazy or I have something to hide, like the 1,000-yard stare down the roadway.
Yeah, he's absolutely right.
Okay. Number three is smile. Like Mr. Rourke of Fantasy Island was fond of saying, smiles, everybody, smiles. Make eye contact and smile. We'll let the officer know that he can communicate with you. Number four, keep it hidden. If you have the gun lying on the seat next to you or in plain sight, plan on having that muzzle-related talk mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's about it. It's kind of non-tactical to have the gun on the seat anyway, because when you look at the situations where you're going to need a gun while you're in the car, carjacking, road rage, things of that situation, they will often begin with the necessity for you to be making violent, evasive movements of the vehicle.
And there goes your gun right off the seat.
Anything that is not nailed down is going to disappear.
I've always laughed at, when they say that you can carry in the vehicle, but the weapon has to be on the seat or in plain view on the dashboard. When was the last time you drove with a cup of coffee on your dashboard, okay? It isn't sticking around, folks. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We're going to go back down the list when we come back with Mossad Ayoub, and you're going to get some more very valuable information. We're feeding your head with freedom. We'll be right back after these messages.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35 to $99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips,
training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Well-known for high-quality handmade leather holsters, Galco Gun Leather now offers a product line made of virtually maintenance-free kydex. Check out the Triton inside the waistband holster. The Triton by Galco is fast, thin, and easy to conceal. The belt clip offers quick on and off capability, while the sweat guard protects both the gun and the gun carrier. If you're a fan of kydex holsters and require deep inside the waistband concealment, the Galco Triton line is for you. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. We're having a great discussion with Masad Ayoub, and hopefully you're taking notes or sticking it into your photographic, I don't know, photographic on the radio? What do you call it? George? Yeah. What do you call it, Sean?
Yeah, that's photographic.
Photographing?
Yeah.
Photographic. Even if you're listening to it instead of looking at it, George, what do you call it?
Well, I have no words for that one. I was just thinking about the gun on the seat thing, and it reminded me of the Miami-Dade massacre, where two villains were taken down by some FBI agents, and one of the FBI agents had the gun either on the seat or on his lap. The incident began, and it involved with a small collision, and all of a sudden that FBI officer was now no longer armed. So I do not recommend the gun on the seat or tucked in between the seats kind of thing. There's a lot of solutions out there for carrying in the vehicle, but just putting it on the seat is not one of them.
Yeah, there are. I agree with that. I've never really understood that. And Masad, when you're driving a pickup truck like I am, you're not reaching over the console for this thing.
No, what I'd recommend is to get an unloaded dummy gun or dedicated dummy gun, and practice drawing from where you normally carry. You'll find that unless you're in a Lamborghini with a super deep bucket seat and a racing harness, if you've got the gun behind your right hip, simply rock the shoulders to the left and slightly forward, and you'll have enough range of movement to clear it. And what you've got there, the gun is going to be always in the same place. Whatever has preceded the need to draw is not going to move the gun away from your reaching hand. You will not have people walking by the car, spotting a gun, panicking, and calling in a man with a gun call. And you won't have the kind of situations that Tim had to deal with tonight.
Yeah, that was a mess. And, I've seen on Personal Defense TV, which, you said you're going into season 5 already?
Season 5.
Wow, that is just crazy. But the advice that you guys give and the tips and techniques and things that you pick up with Tom just hop, skipping, and jumping. I'm referring to Tom Gresham, of course, hop, skipping, and jumping all over the country and hitting some of the greatest firearm schools in the nation, in the world. Let's face it. If it's here, it's the best.
Yeah, sadly, Tom has left the show for this season. He had other projects he needed to pursue. But the show is continuing, lots of the same folks, and Gunsight, Firearms Academy of Seattle,
right.
Clint Smith, and all of that.
And you know, the greatest trainers, we had an email come in last week, you know, tell me what to do if I can't afford to go to one of these schools. And we had Gabe Suarez on, and you know, he was talking about the cost of some of the schools. And, you know, I made the comment, look, I know what it's like to be down to my last 50 bones. Okay.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, the fact of the matter is that you can pick up a DVD or watch, you know, you can pick up, you know, with the magic of the DVR today, George, I'm sure you'll agree, Masoud, I'm sure you will too, that you can pick up some amazing information and do the and practice some of these skills, dry fire some of these skills, right there in the privacy of your own home. And Bruce Eimer writes a really good column for Concealed Carry Magazine where he teaches a lot of that, a lot of that dry fire skill and things that you can do right in your basement, your living room, or in your backyard.
Yeah, Bruce is a great resource for Concealed Carry Magazine.
Yeah, he really is.
He's absolutely right. All of us on the shows have done the training videos and so forth that are available by mail order. Many of us have written books that are available to go over. It does not replace hands-on training and hands-on, you know, coaching critique in terms of the speed at which you acquire the skills. But it's sure as heck better than waiting, I think I'll save up for 5 years to go to the guy's school. Now, grab the DVD now, start doing some dry fire now, and when you eventually get to the guy's school, you're going to have a hell of a running start.
Yeah, you will. You're ahead of the curve, and I'll tell you what you will know for sure. You'll find out very quickly what it is you don't know. I've made fun of myself many, many times on the air about heading out to Shoot Right Academy and doing some work with Tiger McKee. Boy, I'll tell you what. I found out just what I didn't know about how really not good of friends me and my AR-15 really were. And I've lightened it up since then, Tiger, so thank you very much for that. Guys, I want to get to an email because this is what this show is all about. And this came in from Donald Covell. Donald, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. But it says, Mark, congratulations on your ever-expanding show. I pray that we can reverse the damage the current unadministration. I like what he says. The current unadministration is causing our country, our ideals, and our beliefs. I am a Vietnam veteran born in 1944 who is totally disgusted with the continuing barrage of lies and anti-American policies and garbage that continue to spew from the current anti-American unadministration. Please continue to help lead the fight to restore the America that I was once proud of. I'm sorry for the rant, but I can remember myself at the ripe old age of 10 in upstate New York taking my bolt-action Mossberg 22 carbine along with a box of 22 long rifle shells and walking through my neighborhood to the woods to spend the day saving the world from those evil but tasty rabbits. No one called the police or even took a second look at the armed American boy walking through the streets. Those days are lost, and today's generation will never know the joys a boy in his carbine shared. What I carry and why? First of all, I carry now as I have for what seems forever because I can. It is my right and duty as a God-fearing human being to protect myself and my loved ones from any harm that may present itself, be it man or beast. I carry a Detonix 45 ACP inside the waistband appendix carry. In my offside pocket is a Seacamp LWS 32 ACP. My strong side pocket carries a Phoenix LED flashlight and a Spyderco G2. Home protection, Mash, you'll probably like this one, a Remington 870 original police, 12-gauge, 2 3/4, triple-aught buck next to my bed. From one armed American to another, thanks for keeping the fight alive. Don Covell, Pembroke Pines, Florida. Don, thanks for the email, because when we get letters like this, guys from veterans who remember those days, okay, I was born in 62, and I remember walking my neighborhood and going to school. And you know, when they were teaching NRA courses in schools, and he, Don's right, those days are gone. Masoud, thoughts on that? We've lost that in this country now, and it's probably gone forever.
Yeah, pretty much, and I share your grieving for those days. At the same time, we have rights that we didn't have then. You go back to those days, the 1960s, the 1970s. There were 7 states where there was simply no provision to carry a gun in public to protect yourself and your family, and now we're down to only 2 of those. We had only a handful of states that had shall issue as opposed to discretionary may issue carry, and now the shall issue has become the norm. Look at the recent reform in Iowa. We had, you know, we've been talking about Tim's situation where the law in Michigan required him to mention to the officer that he was carrying. But we have to remember, as some of us still can, when Michigan was a discretionary carry state. And if you lived in the Detroit area, your likelihood of getting a permit was directly correlated to how much you had contributed to that particular Democratic mayor's campaign that year. Since the Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners got shell issue passed, we've had countless cases in the state of Michigan where ordinary people who could not have gotten the permit before in the Detroit area have successfully saved their lives and their families' lives since. So, yeah, we've still got problems, and there have been, legally and particularly culturally, some losses. I think, on the whole, we're really gaining.
That music means, at the end of the show, that we have about a minute left before we hear John Young's powerful voice. And I'm going to ask you live on the air, do you have time to stick around for the roundtable?
Sure can. What time will that be?
Beautiful, right after these breaks.
Okay.
And I think Rob Pincus is going to try to join us from hop, skipping, and jumping all over the country. And hopefully we can have him on the air. Otherwise, we're going to talk about some really fun stuff. And I've got another outstanding email here about 22 conversion kits that George and Massad will be able to talk about. Two gentlemen who spend an awful lot of time on the range teaching, training, and for their own enjoyment and competition. And we'll get some expert advice on that in just a couple minutes, as well as being in the roundtable, let our hair down, and have some fun talking about some current events. And there's a whole stack of them. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.
This year, most of the U.S. had the kind of weather that would make a polar bear call in an order for a Snuggie. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. If you were working from home with the 3-Step Plan, you wouldn't have to fight the snow or traffic. You wouldn't have to worry about what to do with the kids on snow days. The 3-Step Plan could make it possible for you to work from the comfort of your home and earn as much or even more than you do sliding around on the pavement going to work for somebody else. Most people build a home business with the 3-Step Plan on a part-time basis, but many do develop a business that earns more than they did working at a job. Can you picture yourself beside the fireplace with a telephone and a computer working your own business? To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.